cut through the gloom. Matt Michaels guides the way. Dark whispers, no light of day.
Dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller.
Bad Boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos, top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclass.
Michaels here, along with Rob Trump Bacileiro. What is going on? Can you decide?
Yeah, I can't decide. I figured I'm like, I'm burying the lead, aren't I?
Can we go with Trump Bacileiro? Hey, it's a Trump Bacileiro.
It's a me, a Donald.
Would you like to fight on my lawn?
Hey, be easy with that, or I'm going to get my favorite curse machine. Work for the Knicks. But the only one more powerful than Danhausen curse is the curse of Trump.
Yeah. Well, at least your Knicks won, and fuck Carolina. Fuck Carolina. They can go suck their hurricanes and stick hockey poles up their, you know, what's ice holes. Huh. Well, that
all right, so there's a wrestling show. What happened there, in wrestling?
Was there? Oh, boy.
Wrestling shows.
Wow. Multiple. NXT, new. Women's North American champion in Zarya, and Zarya got a little heat from the internet for licking the belt.
Which, who cares? It's in character.
Yeah, well, it's just so stupid. It's like, you know, it's a fucking belt. I mean,
when Paige had the Divas belt, they were doing nut shots on it, for Christ's sakes.
Well, and that was just in the video with Xavier and...
yeah, but yeah. Still, somebody finished on that belt.
Yeah, well, you know, what are you going to do? So, you know, she finally gets her due, which is great to see that, you know, Zarya is getting the attention. Taking her a while, you know, she was in the saddle, Shadow of Soul, and now gets a chance to, you know, prove that the next move is main roster with her. So, and that
never again, the title run for about, I would say, 6 more months.
It's hard to say. It's hard to say because they, you know, it's not the NXT Women's Championship, so that can change easier. And the honest answer is, again, when you do make cuts, then you get opportunities like this to show that, you know, you can run with it for a little bit and then, you know, possibly eventually get moved up. So
did she who did she take that from? Wasn't, because I remember Kalani Jordan had it for a while.
It was Tatum Paxley.
Tatum Paxley.
Yeah, it was Tatum Paxley. And Tatum is another one who is probably on the verge of being ready to go to the main roster at some point. So that's going to be, you know, again, it's going to be very interesting with the women, because when you go up, you know, you have a logjam essentially. And because of, you know, the way the programming is, you're lucky if you get two women's matches on a show. So.
And you've got 4 individual belts and the tag.
Right.
So you there's only so much you can do. You see it. You don't want to be in the valet position. Yeah. Kiana James is a valet, even though she's probably could be a megastar. Well,
they're working her into the ring now. Obviously, that's why
I know. I know. With
Julie. But I think a great example is Maxine, right?
Yeah. Ah, man. She had the belt. She was over with the fans. She was a feel-good story. She looked aggressive in the ring. I think she did everything right, and then they just swerved her. Now, I don't know. Again, I always say this. Backstage, maybe she's not jiving with people in the ring. And they said, you know what? You're not ready yet. But this idea that she's dating somebody in backstage vignettes, and they're not even pulling that trigger. They're playing it on the edge. I don't know. I don't know if she's going to go off with Austin Theory into the sunset and be an official Vision woman. They're kind of trying to hedge their bets and see which way they can go with her.
Right, which is also interestingly confusing because of the fact that her real life fiance is now in NXT and, you know, looks to be feuding with Mason Rook. So Cam Hendricks, you know, it was part of LFG that their fiance. So, you know, it again, this is the weird thing about when you actually shoot and then you mix it with kayfabe. And, you know, where do storylines go when you know that she's actually, you know, engaged to someone who is part of your show. So, you know, again, interesting things. Speaking of Mason Rook, oh man, this match was just solid. This guy, for as huge as he is, man, he really just moves wonderfully. And then you put him in with Evil, and you know, you got some good stuff.
Wait, going. Was he on TNA a few years ago?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Because he reminds me of a TNA wrestler who was like a Scottish, big tubby Scottish wrestler who can move incredibly well in the ring.
Yeah, and I honestly don't know, to be honest, because he's really young. He's only like 24, I think, if that. So, and I've heard, you know, international stuff about him, including New Japan, but TNA doesn't ring a bell with him. So,
you know who reminds me of? Grado.
There you go. Yeah, sure.
Grado. Exactly the same kind of look and moveset as Grado 10 years earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Like I said, it looks like he's going to feud with Cam Hendricks, and Evil is going to be taking on Tony D'Angelo for the title. We'll see what happens coming up here with that at Great American Bash. New number one contender came out of NXT with Kendall Gray, Vegas' own. So she'll get a shot at the NXT championship with Lola Vice. This was a really, really great match to kick off. You know, bringing Fraxium in for a match and now putting together Romeo and Noam Dar as a new tag team. Man, that was some good stuff. Again, they're getting creative down there. And then you put in the cornball stuff with Mr. NXT. They're doing something with Shiloh Hill. And man, this guy, this Brit, is fucking good. Just good stuff going on in NXT. You know, can't say enough about the fact that they're really kind of using all aspects of Evolve and the ID program and LFG and everything to kind of come up with just this new thing for NXT. And then we shoot over to Night of the Champions. Charlotte and Liv is what we're going to be seeing. Also, Charlotte making out with the crown. Kind of hot.
Yeah. Liv Morgan being a double champion potentially could be very intriguing. And you invite the storyline of her screwing over her, you know, her, you know, teammates who each could have had an opportunity.
Yeah. But, you know, it was also thought, you know, that potential of Dom and her as king and queen, and we know. And
oh, yeah. That didn't happen now.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. And also, you know, do you give Charlotte the win so that whoever Charlotte goes against, because we know, we'll get to it in a second, EO is going to be the person. So, do you not think EO versus Charlotte would be just fucking money? More so,
it would work. It would work because they're both very athletic. EO is a high flyer and has great in-ring mat work.
Yeah, Charlotte, a fucking great too. Yeah, she's a great. I think in terms of Liv, you know, Liv is character driven. So
yes,
you know that's.
But I mean, that's the thing. Once Charlotte gets the belt, it's not that she doesn't physically deserve it for accolades in the ring. Once she gets the belt, the story falls flat. It will fizzle quickly.
Well, she doesn't have to get the belt, but she can prance be around as the queen.
If she does the queen thing and then butts heads with Alexa Bliss, now you have a story that can carry you through the summer.
And we've also already seen the seeds too between her and Rhea. I mean, that's been kind of a thread. So, you know, it's almost like that three-way story is kind of going to be what they're focusing on. and then Jay Uso. Oh my God, the internet killer. I mean, you talk about a guy who just generates beautiful, beautiful heat now on the internet for people just hating on him. It's amazing.
He on Raw came out to mixed cheers and boos, and he didn't know what to do. He was like, my thing with him was when he first came out, he was always, he wasn't really good on the mic. And he was always kind of doing weird facial expressions, just kind of not focused. Now he's focused. Now the beef that he has with Jacob Fatu is incredible. Yeah. I'm liking where they're going with this. It's not a unified bloodline. They're making Jacob Fatu the right-hand man because we'll they never there. Gave.
We'll get there in a second because, right. You know, we're almost at Raw. So I know that's the hard thing about all these intertwining back and forth
stories. Yeah, it's just.
Yeah. But this one, this is pretty fucking great. Of course, Gunther names Sammy as the referee. And Cody, you know, basically has to bite his tongue as he turns around and Sammy's there because Sammy's unstable. You know,
here's my thing with this. Are we ever going to give this guy the belt?
Huh?
If you give him the belt, if you give him the belt as a heel, I cannot imagine a scenario where he wins it clean in the ring in any matches. It's going to be a shit show of him just ducking people for a few months on end. If you don't give him the belt, you've wasted everybody's time where he's just obnoxious again. And it's got a little bit of life to it. It has a little bit of life to it.
I think where, you kind of have to, though, you know, because
you've got nowhere to go with him.
Well, and also the fans, you know, you want to talk about how the fans don't have a say, and then in some things they do have a say, right? And this one, they've had kind of their say is, you know, we don't want this guy. And it's a weird mix of go away heat with the, you know, the idea of the character. I think the best part about the character is the fact that he's getting advice from a passed out Johnny Gargano.
Right. And, yeah, can we just get Johnny Gargano? Just make a dummy of him.
Dude is the luckiest guy in the world right now to just lay down and collect a paycheck.
Is he doing any type of house show or no?
There's no house shows anymore.
Right. So he's just...
he's getting paid to
lay there.
Just show up. And it's like, hey, you know what? And hey, if his contract comes up and he ends up leaving, hey, that's fine, you know, but he went down to NXT, had a great match, did what he was supposed to do. And I kind of would hope it would be nice to see Sammy and Johnny end up teaming.
Well, I want to do one thing. I want to interrupt you for a second. I want to give a shout out to Dave Savino, Ready to Tango, Yoshi Obayashi. Thank you for tuning in on Instagram and coming in for a second. And you can also catch us on Facebook, the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. And I'm on YouTube, BOCE Comedy. So you've got a few platforms in which to watch us.
There you go. All right. Speaking of platforms, Dan Housen has found his platform. Oh my God. This fucking bit. No eyebrows, the streak like Freakazoid. And then Kit Wilson fucking gets toasted too. I mean, that is just brilliant. It's just fucking awesome.
Miz is the best worker of all damn time. You could tell him to do something, he'll do it and he'll sell it. And that's what I love about him.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You cannot. It was almost like the foreshadowing. It was like, oh, yeah, why don't I team you up with The Miz? Yes, now you've teamed them up with The Miz, and those two, it's like a binary planet. You're just circling around each other, making it better, and then you threw Kit Wilson in there.
Right. You know, which he is lucking into the fact that, you know, when you have a tag team partner who goes out with an injury that's going to keep him up as long as possibly a year, you know, Kit is at least getting an opportunity to work. So
he started off with the poetry, but then tailing The Miz and not officially being, WWE will do this trope where you're not officially in yet. You're like a, right. You're an apprentice forever. They did that with Grayson Waller and the New Day.
Yep.
And it's entertaining because then they work that much harder and become that much more comical to get there. And it pays off. It pays dividends.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Rey Fénix also retained the AAA Cruiserweight match. Again, title in this match against Axiom. Ben, Axiom, again, NXT and SmackDown. Just such an underrated performer, him and Frazier. But that match was just perfect.
I don't think Rey Fénix is underrated.
Rey Fénix. No, I think Axiom.
Axiom. Okay.
Yeah.
Axiom's thing is he's a tag partner and he doesn't have a vehicle on SmackDown and he doesn't have a vehicle on Raw and he could speak English. It's not that. It's not a language barrier thing. It's just, it's like a logjam, as we like to say.
Yeah. And he does exactly what he needs to do, which is put on entertaining matches. Whether, you know, they work as a tag team incredibly well, and both of the guys work as singles very well. So therefore, they're
to me, he's very like valuable. A hologram. And hologram came later, but he's similar to the hologram, except that he could speak. But that's the same, you know. A really amazing set list, and you don't never know when he's going to what moves he's going to break out. So, I mean, right. He does great work. It's just he's in the logjam, right. And right now the only tag team—the only tag team that's on my radar right now in a WWE is Street Profits, because they look like they can finally be on the lip of breaking out.
Yeah. Yeah, it depends. You know, it does depend, but again, the tag team division is something totally different. You know, they have trouble finding their way, so it is what it is. Again, good match there. And by the way, Chelsea and Tiffany Stratton work together well as a team, and Chelsea is fucking over. The fans were just cheering for Chelsea. Just can't say enough about how far she's come. So good for her. All right. There we go. Here's your Raw. Here's your new your Uma Fallon
Uma thing
around Jacob's neck. And of course, why not take out Eric Andre?
Eric Andre's a good seller.
We're all fucking great.
I love he's dangling the beads like they're balls. He's like, oh, look at this, yeah. Look at you. Oh. And Roman Reigns is like, I just worked with this guy. Fuck him. And Roman Reigns is completely where he needs to be right now. I like him now, by the way. Notice their beards are not gray anymore. Somebody had to fucking tell them. You can't look like you're fucking 50 years old. Could you guys fix that? You know, we're trying to sell some toys over here. Sell some tickets, some photos, some merch.
Well, that's probably why. You're right. It's like it was Mattel that went, you know, it costs extra to put the gray into the beards. Can we just go with straight black?
Yeah, you got fucking Jimmy Uso with a fucking rat tail that's different colors every week depending on what show he's on. I just look. I like how they're referring to them now as the twins. He's marginalizing right. the shit out of them.
Right.
And it is good writing because you could see that Jacob Fatu is the right-hand man. They're not the twins aren't getting it done in the ring.
And could we, you know, could we potentially see you know, again, a split where, you know, the two of the twins take on Jacob and Roman in some form. So interesting. And then you had Io, like we said. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, you got two interesting choices here, because if you go with Charlotte, again, that story with Rhea. But if you go with Io, there's another story with Charlotte. And Charlotte and Io have had, Io and Rhea have had incredibly strong fucking matches. That would be a great fucking championship match. And to have her beat Rhea would be, I think, top of the line. That would be fucking amazing.
Also, you then get the opportunity to turn somebody.
Yeah.
Sure. You have the opportunity to turn Rhea heel if you want to eject that parachute.
Or you
just
do
have it a straight up match.
Yeah, and you do the respect, you know, where Rhea lets her shine, you know, gives her the belt and then leaves the ring and lets her shine. So
there's, because that's what they did when it was Charlotte Flair's opportunity. She just rolled out of the ring, held, grabbed herself and started laughing and crying at the same time.
Yeah.
Or you could do the old, hey, you won, EO, and then look at her, give her the filthy look and clock her.
Right.
Or give her, mommy's not a background dancer, blah, 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 blah.
Give her a hug and then have The Rock come out and give her a nod.
Yep.
and then we could have Rhea go to the ring with Travis Scott.
Yeah.
Hey, this guy won.
All right. So,
Oba's either going against Jovan or Jay. So
if he gets fucked over, he's got to get fucked over. He can't win.
Right.
He can't win King of the Ring.
And they already had him on the mic comment about the fact that Brock wasn't there to screw him over, although people thought he would be. So therefore, would it not make sense that, you know, potentially, unfortunately, Jey Uso? But now, does that set up, if Jey wins the King of the Ring, does that not set up Jey versus Roman?
Well, no, he said he wanted to go in a promo that he would go after Cody.
Cody, right.
Now, here's my thing. You know what I've said 1,000 times? I'd like there to be a unified bloodline. You've got Solo Sikoa drowning over there on SmackDown looking like a goofball. You could have Jey Uso go over there, and you could. There's a few ways. You could go really bizarre and have him take over MFT or something with Solo Sikoa where he gets the belt over there on SmackDown and breaks off.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, possibly.
There's a lot of different ways you could go if you pull the J trigger. He's talking a lot. He's violent. He's angry. He's, you know, Jimmy's trying to be the peacemaker. Jay is, like, not having it. Then you still have LA Knight floating around.
Right.
And he's a disruptor. That's the best way he can be right now is a disruptor.
Yeah, well. You know, again, we'll see. And, you know, we'll see where they're headed, because there's again different alleyways that, you know, you can go down, and some might lead to the Blue Oyster. So, all right. Speaking of the Blue Oyster, hey, Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega is. He's looking his age, and to see him start to get glimpses where he gets a little burst of energy, He doesn't look as gloomy as he did 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. So, and he went against Bad Boy, Bad Dude Tito, again, friend of the show, and FSW, former tag team champion, and someone who, you know, it's made his way through the ranks here. Overall, Collision Dynamite this week.
Myron Reed is getting, that was great. That's taking a bump, and she just grinds her feet into it.
Yeah.
Glass, of course, it's candy, whatever the frick they use, sugar glass, and all sorts of thumbtacks. And honest to God, it didn't even phase her at all. She did have thumbtacks in her feet. The Death Riders are on top of the world over there.
Yeah.
They could go a notch further, but it really is the two hemispheres of the Death Riders and the Don Callis family.
Yeah.
And the Don Callis family with Kevin Knight, he's putting other people to the back burner. Love it. You've got Protocada. Great. They're going back after the Intercontinental belt. There's a lot happening over there right now, and it's a lot of good storyline seeds are being planted. And MJF is got bullseyes from all directions. So yeah. Heels are coming after MJF. That's what I like. Heels are coming after him.
Yeah, and more of that, you know. That's good. Because
now he either cowers or he becomes a baby face or he gets a crew of his own.
Well, and I just think one of the things that I think that wrestling can use more of, and it has a hard time because fans do dictate a lot of the reaction, being if they end up liking you, now you're a face, right? I think the idea, but it's hard not to, right? Austin was the biggest example, you know, huge heel, so popular, they have to make him a face. But Austin really, at the heart of it, was the first character that one of the first characters you could actually point to and say, he didn't need to be face or heel. Just whoever came in the ring, I'm going to kick your ass.
I would say that he did that a year or two earlier, but him, then The Rock, and more recent times, Becky Lynch, and now MJF. Yeah. But MJF is interesting because he would go to the Don Callis family as if they were hired assassins. And now Kevin Knight's going, I'm coming after you, MJF.
Right. Which works perfectly. And that works towards MJF being, you know, a good, you know, gray area, because, and I think Jericho should have done more of this in his career. And that is, you're in it for you. I think that character is always absolutely a credible wrestling character, someone who you start to like him, and then shows that he's just in it for himself and turns on whoever was getting him the babyface.
Jericho's AEW career was odd because he had two big factions right out of the gate with the Inner Circle and then the Jericho Appreciation Society. And I went, all right, what are you on the outside of this? And he had the Learning Tree, and each time it was like, this is getting a little silly. Now he's beefing with Ciampa, and I'm going, why? Why are you backburning Ciampa when you put a rocket on his back with no fuel?
Again, that's a general question with a lot of the guys that come in, right? You know, it's like, yeah. And really, honestly, if you look at it, Swerve is the only one who has been able to survive it. Everyone else, you know, you just kind of go up, and then you're Adam Cole, you're Kyle O'Reilly. You're those guys.
Swerve's thing was the moguls. with the moguls, he was able to at least get Prince Nana. Because without Prince Nana, it doesn't work. Because all the moguls dropped off. He still has Prince Nana, and he just goes on and he just swears strictly, and he doesn't need a crew, and it's worked for him. If you were to take Prince Nana out tomorrow, he would get a little bit of run. He's not bad on the mic, but he just has something magical with that.
I think it's the opposite. I think Prince Nana can basically buy Swerve fucking Rolex for allowing him to
exist.
Still be around. Yes.
Well, you know what it is? Is Prince Nana a Don Callis? No. Is Prince Nana a Paul Heyman? Absolutely not. But
he's not even a Stokely Hathaway.
No, but I like him. I just like him. And then a couple of times where he was in trouble, who came out with a freaking, you know, a Lincoln Navigator to run somebody over? Nana, you know?
Yeah.
It's the shucking and jiving crap, but it works for some reason. It just works, and I mean, it. It's the
modern day slick.
Yeah, and I like it. Is he Virgil? No, he's something all to his own. Fuck it, go with it. Ride it till the wheels fall off.
Well, and I think that honestly, the pinnacle of it. You at some point it would. Him turning on Swerve would just be the beauty of it, right? Especially if you find a young, good talent that nobody sees it coming, you know, where this is the next guy you can develop and Nana is guiding him and now Swerve is basically making the next guy, which would be nice, so... All right.
That might be, who can say? When it's WWE, we look to NXT to see what the future is going to look like. And sometimes TNA. But with AEW, it's kind of hard to see, in my mind, where they're going to be from next.
Right, and you literally have to look at, I think Knight would have been the perfect one. You put him with Callis. I think he kind of blew that. I think Hobbs would have been a good one, but you know, he walks. So you kind of have
Hobbs'
to look
problem
at,
was it was start stop start stop start stop right, start right, stop
right. Right, and that's why if you would have had something like that, maybe you could have done something with it. So yeah. But again, the hard thing is that you have to look at. You have to look at the indies, people who are gaining in the indies, people who get released by TNA or get released by NXT or even WWE. Could you imagine if the New Day comes in? I'd say put him with the New Day and that's – there you go. Because if there's a shuck and jive tag team out there that would be perfect for him, that's it right there.
Yeah. That would I want to see them there. You definitely do, and he would pair up with them nicely.
Yeah.
He would be perfect for them.
You know, maybe even Swerve. Maybe put them with Swerve. And you know, there's your the Swerve day.
Swerve is very, very violent as of late within the last year and a half.
Well, maybe we can put some violence into the New Day finally, and then, it puts some freshness into their fucking.
And it'll be called the Day of Reckoning, and they'll wear purple all the time.
I don't know. I like Swerve
Day. I know. Yeah, Swerve Day. It's Swerve Day. Watch Prince Nana try to shuck and jive to that.
Right. Well. All right. Hey, any thoughts on what took place on the White House lawn?
Oh boy, you know, I tell you what, I'm going to give you a moment to collect your thoughts, and you can tell me what you think about it. I think I might have someone who has a unique perspective. Hold on.
This guy right here, Roman Reigns, was at the White House. So was Triple H. I believe I know Jake Hager was there. Sid Bodhi was there. So the wrestling world was definitely represented at the White House.
I think I might have someone who has a perspective, but I gotta get him.
Oh, okay. Well,
you know what? Do you have the ups and downs, the picks next week, the over and unders?
Sure, I guess I can. All right, well, here we go. This is Sin City Steve's segment, which is an over and under for AEW next week. I will look at it through the perspective of Steve's eyes. I will give AEW an over of 12 viewers. I think that's fair. I think they'll go over 12. I think the attendance will be over 100 in the arena. The under this week, I say the under is under 6 entertaining matches. I think they'll be under 6. I'm sure Steve would have given that an over, but I'll give it an under. I'm pretty sure that the overall over under of AEW lasting more than 7 more years, I think I might give that an over. I think that they can last maybe 8, but you know, we'll see. Depending on if the conglomerate, you know, decides to buy them out when Saudi Arabia buys the WWE, and then turns to AEW and buys them, and the Saudis own all of American wrestling. From that point on, I think that we can see that happening. I see in the future the over-under of Steve being on next week's show. I think it's over. So if you tune in to listen to Steve and his wonderful voice, you'll hear it again next week. This week he was off on assignment. I believe he himself might have been on the White House lawn. He's got friends in high places. So, you know, we don't know, but that's where he could have been. Oh, boy.
I told Rob to get the hell out of here. So we're here. You were talking about the my birthday. I know she didn't mention my birthday there, Michaels.
I forgot. Happy.
How very birthday. New York Times of you to forget your president's birthday.
I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. I thought you slept through it. 80th
birthday. Who's ever done such a good job at 80 years old running the country so in such a fantastic way? People have saying that. So many people are saying that. Mr. I know IE said that. Mr. The Real Samoan Joe, who happened to be at the UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship. And it was a spectacular, tremendous, and really, really fantastic show. So many people said that we're going to do it every year. It's going to be like AEW All In, but it's going to be AEW All In White House. Okay. All In, AEW All In White House Edition. Believe it. Believe it.
You know, speaking of Mr. President, I saw this online. Solo said Roman could go to hell. Roman went to the Epstein House UFC show. Looks like hell to me.
Solo Sikoa is a B player. He's not even a B plus player. He's a B minus player. He's garbage. He dresses up like what kind of hitman wears penny loafers? What kind of hitman wears suede loafers? Okay. What does he do? What is he? Attention came out sharp. He's a loser. He's a loser. He's a garbage player. Okay. He's trash.
He's a friend of the show, Mr. President, just to let
Solo
you know.
Solo Sikoa?
Yeah.
So long, Mr. Sikoa, friend of the show. Why not a friend of the show? You know what? As a friend, you should tell him to buy some dress shoes and actually look like he can kick someone's ass, okay? He has all this time to make his hair look blonde for the camera. Who does that?
I don't know. You had a little controversy on the lawn there. UFC fighters be mentioning?
Excuse me. What controversy? There were no controversies. We had an amazing UFC show. It was the biggest draw of a, what do they call it? A premium live event. We're calling them FLE, Fantastic Live Event. Okay, Fantastic Live Event.
Oof. One of the fighters did mention a certain ex-president's first lady actually being a man.
Well, you know, they were talking about Big Mike, and we're not talking about The Miz. We're talking about Michelle Hussein Obama. And, you know, Michelle Hussein Obama, we've looked into it. People have said there have been some reports out there that she might have a penis. It's something that we should look into, I think. We should look into who the real mother of those children are. If they were grown in a Wuhan lab, maybe the Obama's children were grown in a Wuhan lab. It's possible. You know, people are saying, a lot of people have said, maybe we should look into that. Maybe they're test tube babies. I don't know.
And speaking of test tube babies, hey, it's the 41st birthday of the Olsen twins.
Well, that means they're very legal. They're very, very legal. And you can bring them into the White House and we'll have a full house.
Were they on the island?
They're 41 years old. They still look like they're 15. I call that the island of relevancy. Where have we heard that before? The island of relevancy.
All right. Since we have you, we're just going to keep you around here for our next little segment here. All right, time to take a social media dump with the president. After Jey Uso saw dislikes the WWE universe loves him. He said they love him. What do you think, Mr. President? Jey Uso getting all this hate and then having to, playfully banter that WWE.
Well, we had a Newsmax poll. We had a Newsmax poll. And it turns out that he had an 81% approval rating amongst Samoan wrestlers. That's 81%. We've never seen anything that high before. And it shows that the media is biased. It's very rigged. It's very fixed. They treat him very unfairly. Last week, they were shouting for him and, screaming oos and all that. And now the crowd isn't very oosy. Isn't that something? The crowd isn't very oosy. So sad what they've done to him.
Trick Williams calls his Mount Rushmore The Rock, Stone Cold, Steve Austin, Booker T, and Razor Ramon. Is there anyone on this that he left off of his Mount Rushmore of pro wrestling?
Well, he's got to do The Rock and Booker T because, you know, they have quotas. He's got a quota he's to fill. And then Stone Cold Steve Austin is still alive. And Razor Ramon, I don't know why he would have Chico on there. I think Razor Ramon's last name is like, Razor Jablonski, he's not even Latino, he's like a Midwesterner guy. He's probably from Wisconsin or some shit. I don't know who the hell knows. I don't know about that. I would have had Ric Flair. Ric Flair has the right look. He looks like a champion. He acts like a champion. Maybe Hulk Hogan, who is also there, quite honestly very unfairly. They've done so many horrible things to Mr. Hogan, and he deserves to be on the Mount Rushmore.
Isn't there a WWE Hall of Famer who you personally think that should be on that Mount Rushmore?
Well, you know, I mean, first of all, if we can add, you know what I'm thinking? I mean, this is true. We're looking into this of adding another about 42 stories to the Mount Rushmore. We're going to put another mountain on top of Mount Rushmore so we can add. So there's going to be a Donald Trump on top of the other people. And we're going to call it the Donald Trump Rushmore Mountain. It's going to be the Donald Trump and Rushmore Mountain.
There we go. All right. Brian Cage says he got a call that he'd be returning to AEW television the night before. Quote, when I got the call to come back to AEW, it was late Tuesday night. I already had a full schedule and wasn't even home. I got back, trained legs because I knew I'd be traveling all day Wednesday for Dynamite, prepared everything for the weekend and my commitments, and finished around 3 in the morning. I got up at 5:40 and had to get to the airport and didn't arrive at the arena for the match with Kevin Knight until around 7 that night. I went straight to medical, had to get cleared by the State Athletic Commission, then receive treatment. I didn't even see the locker room. I changed right after getting the treatment table and went straight to the gorilla position. Not only was that the experience he had with his return to AEW television, but this weekend, Brian just won the Mr. Nevada title in the bodybuilding competition.
Look at the muscles on that guy. Wow, look at those muscles. He's got the pecs and he's got the grease and the oil. He looks juicy, doesn't he? He looks juicy. He's fantastic body. Fantastic body. That is a body sculpted like God. Okay. You know, if I could sculpt a body, that's what I would want it to look like. It would be almost as good as mine.
Yeah, I was going to say, does it give you a running or is it, you know, in competition? But,
well, you know, when I was a little bit younger, he would have looked almost as good as me. Almost as good as me when I was in. People don't talk about my service in the armed forces as a Cadet Trump. And they'd never seen a body like that before. They said, wow, look at his traps. Look at his lats. Look at his glutes. They said, wow, those are some glutes. You know, no glutes. To get glutes like that, you can't have glutes. You know what I mean? You get it.
All right. The New York Knicks have won the championship in WWE.
That's not Danhausen. What was that? That wasn't Danhausen. That was the Crow. What was that? That's the Crow. That's Sting.
And Danhausen is his own Knicks merchandise on WWE.com. Just a fantastic story. You were at the game. Coincidentally, it was the only game they lost.
Well, you know, they didn't play their hardest. They choked in the fourth quarter, which the Knicks were known for doing for 53 years. And then I said to them that if you don't win the following game, that you won't be allowed to come back from San Antonio. And it is quite possible that some of them are Dominican. So they won, and we're going to give them a stay of deportation.
There we go. This was the 20th anniversary of ECW's second one-night stand where Cena took on Rob Van Dam, and RVD left with the title that night. Any memories of that, Mr. President?
Well, he was not the peacemaker that night. I remember Rob Van Dam. I remember his beautiful wife too. She was on a plane with me, and we were watching it closed caption, closed circuit. And she looked and she said, "Well, first she said, and then she said, I think I'm going to marry that guy one day." And I said, "We'll look into that.
Oh, God. Chris Bay hanging out with CM Punk. That's some good stuff there. We got some.
What is this spine looking at? We want to give a special shout out to Chris Bay. Would love to see him back in the ring one day. You're doing fantastic work. You have a great physique. Keep up the good work. And I like this anime stuff. Look at this. Stone Cold, The Rock, The Giant. Good. Oh, we love Mr. Hogan. We love Hulk. The Hulkster. Kurt Angle looking like Captain America.
Yep. And then, okay. So, Outlive You texted, why haven't we seen Jordan Grace? Miss her. Blake Monroe texted back, I ate her. And Jordan Grace texted back, happy pride.
Well, that would be a three-way with Jonathan Gresham. And we're going to see a lot of mulatto anchor babies. So I don't know about that one.
What happened to poor Jade Cargill and her wig?
Well, you know, she wasn't a real blonde. The carpet didn't match the drapes, and the drapes fell off. And hopefully the carpet does match the drapes in real life. We're looking into it. We're looking into it. Between her and Don Callis's teeth, a lot of stuff is falling off.
This might be the only way LA Knight wins a world title in WWE.
Loser, yeah. And I hear he doesn't tip well. Somebody told me that he doesn't tip very well. I don't know where I heard that from.
You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in this world that you have to look over, and that might make you worry sometimes, but this guy is the ultimate worrier.
You know, he's not like the commander-in-chief. He's not the commander-in-chief. I've got lots and lots of things to worry about, and I don't look like that.
And maybe one of the best books ever written, Horton Hears a Woo.
Whoa!
All right. Finally, this week,
Well, how do you like my Corey Graves impersonation?
Who?
Exactly.
Woo! This week, I believe a fan of the show did something. Can't confirm if this is real or not real, but I believe that, yep, there it is. A Rob Trump tattoo? Boy, I don't know.
I don't know why the American flag is backwards. Somebody should tell her that the American flag is backwards, but I like it. It's good work. He's doing some good work, and the Vegas Bad Boys and the backwards American flag. I don't know about that one, but not bad. Not bad.
Speaking of Rob Trump, where can people see him this week?
Well, it's 9 o'clock, and tonight we're going to be at Ola Abibi at 1151 South Casino Center Drive, if I'm not mistaken, off of Charleston, Las Vegas. I'm going to be crashing a Bill TC and Skippy Sprinkles show tomorrow and Wednesday at Rick's Rolling Smoke. By the Bond Star set. Yep. So I'm going to crash that place. Skippy Sprinkles.
Skippy Sprinkles.
That's the name of the comedian. That's his name, too. It's on his ID. Skippy Sprinkles. That is his legal first and last name.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Well, there you go. Stop by the Bond Stars next door area and see the president.
And we had a wonderful show. I want to give a special shout out to Liplock, comedian Liplock, for Laugh or Trash notoriety. And we were also featured. You got to see the president at Nuo. So thank you, Gabe Lopez, for the honor of having your president at Nuo.
There you go. All right. As Steve would say, thank you for joining us.
Boom, tank, Steve. And there we go.
A tribute to the troops. yes, thank you very much, everyone who served this country on foreign and domestic lands, as Steve says. Thank you. And, of course,
Rep Sports. Look at that. You use the golden code Vegas. And when you're peeing, when you go to Rep Sports, you'll get the supplement. You'll get 10% off with code Vegas, and you'll be peeing even better. You'll have a tremendous flow. It will be a flow like never before seen.
They held back on a lot of what they could do.
Dude!
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah! With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mics glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. Alright. Rob Butcher, Larry dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys, tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying,